and do another podcast with you.
Wow, that means a lot, man.
Yeah. Brought to you by our good friends, as always, AgriGold. Stop on their website. Take a look at them, www.agrigold.com. Thank you again for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, always always appreciative to the good friends over at AgriGold.
Yes. So now last week was tough because we had to do a podcast or CFTV Live after we got our tails kicked by Iowa, which was always which was a very humbling experience. This week we get a victory, but I don't know if there was a whole lot of positives from the Drake game.
No, I think that there were some positives, but it's like the things that at times had been positive previously became negative.
Negative,
you know. And it's like there are positives to take from it, but at the same time, it's like hard to take the positives because there's so, the things that you were feeling good about, you don't feel good about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is an Iowa State team defensively. We saw play really well in the second half against Gonzaga. Played great against Miami. Great against Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati's maybe not a great offensive team. And then to see the defensive performance against Drake, who I would say Drake's probably going to be one of the top three or four worst teams we'll play all year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
At least of teams that, like, should be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they dropped, what, 80 on Iowa State?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was disappointing to see. What's the big takeaway?
Defense did get a lot better at the end of the game. I mean, they went on... It was 76-76 with 6 minutes left in the game. And then they went on a 21-4 run to end the game.
Man, if you would have told me before the game Iowa State was going to win by 17, I would have said, okay. I thought they were going to win by 25-30, but it would have been okay. But the way that 17-point game happened, I don't think anybody left Wells Fargo Arena feeling overly good about the game.
Right. And it's like I mentioned, I think the fact that it was 76-76 with 6 minutes left in the game, it's like – it's like, what the heck are we doing?
I will say, that was as animated as I've seen Steve Prohm that one time out.
Oh, yeah.
He was hot.
Well, I think he took that timeout just to – he pretty much took it to yell at Deontay Burton. I think that was right. We're going to show the clip. I think that might have been right after the defensive play, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been. And I might have been yelling at Deontay at that point, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Well, that was
the first wrong half.
First half. But yeah, there was a play he made on offense that was – there's several plays he made on offense that were just like, what are you doing, dude? But we'll talk about that.
So Deontay's the whipping boy of CFTV Live today?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Well, I mean, we always have to have someone to point out, right?
I guess so, yeah. I think the thing that – it's easy to make him the target because he just played badly on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
To be fair, he's had some really good games too.
Right.
I think the one thing we're seeing with Deontay is just a little bit of inconsistency. When he's good, he's as tough of a guard as there is in the country just because of his size and athleticism. But when the shots aren't falling, how is he going to make an impact on the game? And we saw in the Drake game, he didn't make an impact when the shots weren't falling.
Right.
His impact was negative, as you're going to point out.
Well, and I think the thing is that when he's playing well offensively, he gets a lot of confidence. But then when he's not making his shots, then the other parts of his game start to kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he needs to be one of those guys that even if his shots aren't falling, he's crashing the boards hard. He's making good passes when he's able to get to the rim. And that's how you can make – and then you're playing good defense as well because that's how you're able to make up for the fact if your shots aren't going down on that particular day.
Yeah. And there's a big burden on him because he is playing a power forward on a team that does not have any big men at all.
Right.
So there's probably a little bit more of weight on his shoulders, would you say?
I guess that you could say that. And I think that for him, it's like there's days with the way that he plays. He's big and he's strong, but I don't think I would describe him as a power player.
No.
You know, I think he's like a finesse guy, and a lot of the shots that he takes are more finesse-type plays, right?
The finger rolls.
Rather than, you know, a lot of people say, why doesn't he just dunk it? And it's like he just isn't that kind of player, I guess. And
that's... What do you think about this? You played, obviously, college basketball. You're tall. You have the ability to dunk it. It's not really as easy as just going and dunking the ball, is it?
No.
I mean, you look at these guys, especially when you're down close in these games, there's a lot of height out there. And just to go up and dunk on someone is not as easy as it said. I was listening on the radio the other day, and that was one thing. They think Deontay Burton just needs to go dunk it. I don't think that's the case. I think he just needs to go and finish hard.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing the finger rolls or the outside loop, I think he needs to go hard. And then, as you pointed out on Twitter just a little bit ago, get to the free throw line. The guy's taking a lot of shots inside the lane. He's not getting to the free throw line nearly enough. For Iowa State to be successful, I think he needs to go be more physical on his finishes.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think that there's times where a lot of guys on Iowa State's team will, rather than finishing through contact, they'll almost shy away from it. And that's when you see those moments where they'll double clutch and kind of reach around somebody and they'll do a finger roll rather than just going straight up, trying to finish it over the top of somebody.
Monte is one that does a really good job.
Monte does a good job
because he goes into the guy and then kind
of
goes away from it a little bit. So he kind of did create space because obviously Monte's not a big guy. He's not a he's a good athlete. He's not a great athlete. He's not rising above anyone for anything. So Monte does a good job of that. But you're right. I mean, everyone else seems to be kind of the finger rolls. And I think that's one reason we've seen a lot in this layups over the last couple weeks.
Well, and that's why – with Monte specifically, that's why you see he's able to get to the free throw line. You know, he's taken, I think, 89 two-pointers, and he's gotten to the free throw line 21 times, which is the same number as Deontay. But Deontay's taken 15 more shots inside the three-point line.
Yeah.
And a lot of his shots are coming at the rim. They're coming in the paint. Whereas you look at a guy like Daryl Bowie, who a lot of his shots come down there too, he's taken 59 two-pointers and 36 free throws. Like, that doesn't add up, but it shows the way that Bowie plays. He's playing a little bit more straight up, trying to finish through guys down there near the rim, whereas Deontay just, like you said, he gets out there to the side sometimes. He'll double clutch on those rather than just finishing straight over the top of somebody. And that's something that, especially when you get to, like, the NBA level, that's one of those things that they really look for, guys that are willing to finish through contact, not around contact, not – you know, getting under it. They want to go right through that guy and get to the rim.
Well, you think it's hard going around guys at college level. It's even more hard in the NBA when everybody's so much longer. Yeah, you have to go through. I mean, guys are so long anymore, not even their height, but their wingspans. Mm-hmm. If you try to go around somebody, they can – I mean, it's still a huge radius. You have to go into a guy.
Well, that's and refs aren't going to call fouls when your arm's down here very often.
No.
Like they want to be able to see, like, it's – you're making contact with that guy up top, and he is fouling you, keeping you from being able to make the shot. When you're going out and around and avoiding that contact, it doesn't really look like there's contact being made because it's just you're avoiding it, you know?
Yep. And Bowie, like you said, Bowie does a great job. The only unfortunate part is Bowie shoots about 44% at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Bowie shoots 44% on the free throw line. I just looked it up. He's only shot 7 threes, but he's Iowa State's leading three-point shooting percentage at like 57%.
I mean,
4 for 7. It's a small sample size, but it is still funny to see that guy is leading the team in shooting.
But I think it proves that how much, you know, free throws are mental.
Oh, 100%. Because his stroke is not – I mean, it's not great, but it's
stroke.
Not bad. It's,
and I think
it's
that
fair.
One game when he went, what was it, like 1 for 8 or 1 for 10 or something against – who was that they played? Was that Gonzaga or Miami?
Miami. Someone else.
I think it was Miami.
Indiana State maybe. Yeah, it was one of the down there.
And he just didn't shoot well from the game. And you could see near the end of the game he'd get fouled.
Yeah.
And he'd be mad about it. He's like, I don't want to go – it's like he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. And that, I think that might have carried over even later into the season. And – I think that he can shoot. I think he was a better free throw shooter previously in his years at Northern Illinois. So I wouldn't be surprised if that percentage goes up later in the season. But you can definitely see that there's something at the line that's inhibiting him a little bit.
Well, I sure hope it goes up, because if the trends continue, he's going to be Iowa State's leading guy getting to the line. Mm-hmm. And they need him to shoot better than 44. I mean, 60% I don't think is too much to ask for a guy like him. Especially, you know, like we said, it's not one of those guys who's got a hitch in his jumper or just comes off his hand funny.
Right.
It's a decent-looking jumper. He should be able to hit 60%.
He has a good stroke even when he steps out. Like you mentioned, he can shoot the three. He can shoot that 15-foot jumper in the short corner.
I never want to see those again.
I'm interested to see how they use him a little bit more here in the next couple months. I think he could be a guy that by the end of the season is consistently like a 10-7 guy.
Yeah. No, I absolutely
especially
agree.
If he keeps getting more minutes.
Do you think he continues to start?
I would. Yeah, I think he will.
I was shocked to see how little Solomon Young played.
I was too.
Drake. And I know this. You know, Steve talked about the zone and how they're guarding us and everything. But we're going to see a lot of that different setup. Mm-hmm. You got to find a way to get the big guy some touches, in my opinion. You're a big guy. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think I can kind of see where Coach Prohm is coming from, because I think a guy like Holden maybe fits a little bit better in that situation where you're getting him. Like you dish it, you dump it off, and then you just have him lay it in, or like you throw him a lob or something like that. I haven't seen Solomon play in that situation, so I don't really know what.
And he's still a freshman.
And he's still a freshman, so it's like. And you have to remember that the last time they tried to throw him a lob, he broke his hand. You know, it's like that. There's just a lot of different situations, especially against a zone like that, when you've got that one guy back, and that's when you and that's how you see guys like Deontay catch a lob out of the short corner, and Jameel. How many times do you think he would have caught a lob against Drake on Saturday?
He probably had 6 dunks.
A lot, yeah. That was the perfect kind of defense to get plays like that.
That was the disappointing part for me, because I look at it, I don't think Iowa State can be where we want them to be as far as a team unless they can get Holden or Young going. I mean,
Holden, they need to get production from that five position.
Bowie's production is great, but they need it from a true five, in my opinion. Someone's got some size.
If they can even do it where it's just like each guy is maybe scoring 4 or 5 points.
I don't even care about scoring.
Right. Like even just – or if you can just get each guy grabbing 5, 6 rebounds at a time when they can get in and play good defense, then they're going to add something to the team. And it – if they can score enough to keep people honest and not sink all the way back like that, I want to know what those guys can do as a passer from the post, because I think that's something that Daryl Bowie can be successful with. If you can get him with his back to the basket right there, maybe get him in like a face up, kind of in that elbow line extended down a little bit even lower.
Yeah,
I think he's a guy that could be successful in that role.
Is it Bowie or Bowie?
It's Bowie.
Bowie. So I've always been saying it wrong. Yeah, it's not the first time I've said it's a name
is
wrong.
Is it Bowie?
It's Bowie, so I always said Bowie. I could be wrong, though.
It could. I don't know. I just say what I say.
But, you know, the way I looked at it, and what was disappointing for me is Iowa State had 2 more games before the Big 12 play starts. Mm-hmm. Holden has been, let's call it what it is, a disappointment so far.
Yeah.
The production hasn't been there, whether it's foul trouble, just not getting acclimated to the team. I don't know what the reason is, but he hasn't been as good as we thought he was going to be at this point in the season. And Young's coming back from the hand injury. He's a freshman. To me, Drake and Mississippi Valley State are 2 perfect games to get these guys a lot of minutes, to get to see kind of what you have going into Big 12 play, because I don't care if you trust these 5 guys that we have starting right now. Holden and Young are going to have to play a lot in the Big 12. They have to. So for neither of them to play very much at all, and I know the game was tighter than we wanted it to be, but that was disappointing for me to see. I don't know. I'm going into Big 12 play now. That's a scary, scary thing because Burton and Bowie are, what, 6'5", tops? I know they list them at 6'7". They're not 6'7". You're 6'7".
Well, and it makes more sense now why even, like, back before the season started, there was a lot of discussion about how these guys will be better in February and March than they are right now. I would say that's definitely a pretty safe thing to say. Or at least it's a safe thing to hope.
Well, which players? The whole team?
No, these guys that were down low, the Bowies, the Holdens, and Youngs.
I mean, you got two.
And Young, you have to remember too. With Young, like his growth got stunted because he had to sit out 2 weeks of practice.
But,
that's for a young big guy. That is huge, huge.
I agree. I kind of move him aside here. And then you look at Bowie and you look at Holden. Both of those guys were playing at lower levels, right? I mean, not that the competition's been great for Iowa State by any means so far this year. It's going to get better. But I think even just playing with guys of a higher caliber is probably taking them a little time. I think Bowie's done a great job, though. I mean, for what his skill set is and
I like his play, like him a lot.
Yeah,
I think
and how
he's
a
really good player.
How he guards and kind of can get out of the pick and roll. I think he does it for what they're asking him. I think he's doing about as well as he can. The only thing he can improve is free throws.
Right.
I mean, everything else, I think he does a great job on. So it's just going to be interesting to see what Steve and when the staff can do. And hopefully, you know, we got to, after Mississippi Valley State, which let's be honest, Iowa State should win this game tonight by 30 points.
Yeah.
After that, they got about a week, right? A little bit of time off before Texas Tech. Can they get these big guys right? Cause they need to.
Yeah. That's going to be the biggest thing. I think I agree with you. Here's a better question for you.
Let's hear it.
Who wins Thursday night's game between the Delta Devils and Drake Bulldogs at the Knapp Center?
Those two teams play?
Yeah.
Drake. Coach Rutter's got him going back again.
Did you see
TJ, South Dakota State, play Drake last night?
How much did they win by?
South Dakota State won by 8, I want to say. I hear they played pretty well. I didn't get to go. I wanted to go.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I decided to. I actually fell asleep on my couch last night.
What time?
I don't remember. I don't want to tell you. I'd be embarrassed.
You're turning an old guy.
Let's go up here.
So we're standing up. I'm going to break down some video.
Yeah.
Let's take a look here. First, we're going to go with Thomas.
Let's move this a little bit closer here.
Yeah, you take care of that. I'll get Thomas pulled up here.
All right. So I'll say the biggest difference that I saw for Iowa State's offense in this game was their ability to get the ball out in transition. Okay?
Is part of that, just playing devil's advocate here, is part of that because they're playing a team of Drake's caliber?
I think it was also they made a concerted effort. This is what I'm going to show you. There's a couple different things that they do that you weren't seeing them do early on in the season. A lot of times when these guys would grab a rebound, it didn't matter if it was Naz, Matt, whoever, they were going to dish it off to Monte. They were going to get it to Donovan Jackson right away on an outlet, even, you know, below the three-point line sometimes, rather than trying to kick it out ahead. Here, and run this clip.
All right.
So right here, Matt's going to grab this rebound, and rather than quick outletting, he's going to push it ahead and then that's going to get it, Naz steps on the line. So that's it doesn't really end in anything, but you can see right away, instead of kicking it out, looking for an outlet, Matt just grabs the rebound and pushes it ahead himself, and then you get a long pass, and then you would have had an open shot if Naz doesn't step on the line.
And this is made possible by the fact that our guards are rebounding.
Yeah.
Right? When the guards are getting in and rebounding it, you can get out. You don't have to have Burton or Bowie.
Right.
Bowie.
Yeah. And this was just one of the big differences for Iowa State, is that when these guards would grab a rebound, rather than stopping, trying to look for that outlet, they're going to grab the rebound, they're going to put it on the floor, or they're going to try and put it on the floor for a dribble or two and make a long pass ahead to a guy that's running the wing. And this one, and then you see Monte, he's getting out and running the wings rather than waiting back and trying to get the ball to push it ahead.
Okay, I like it. Any way that Iowa State can push the ball down court and use the fact that they have a lot of guards, I think, mm-hmm. is a bonus. What were they doing before? If Matt got the rebound before, was he just trying
to... He was going
to
try and find an outlet to Monte.
Monte?
Yeah, and then he was going to try and run this wing.
Yeah.
And then... But Iowa State can be a lot better in this situation because this doesn't allow Drake. We talked about that 1-3-1 zone. It doesn't allow them to come back and set this, especially if you've got a guard that can grab the rebound and push it right away. Like, Drake was off balance here defensively. If he doesn't step on the line, they get a bucket early in the game.
I mean, the way I look at it, Iowa State, especially they're a lot deeper team than they've been in the past. Guard, they have the opportunity to tire teams out in the second half. Well, by just continuing to run.
And every guard Iowa State has can play these three spots. Like, Monte can run the wing. Nick Babb can run the wing. Naz can run the wing. Matt can run the wing. And they can all push the ball with the dribble. They're all capable of grabbing a rebound and pushing it ahead themselves rather than having to find a point guard.
Which
one's this?
This is Naz to Bowie.
Okay. So this one's really similar. Just run it through.
Okay.
This is good defense right here by Iowa State, by the way. Force a long, bad three-pointer. Naz grabs the rebound. See him push it ahead himself. And then you get a little good – you get that penetration. And they're able to get a good three right here. Good look. You push it with a guard that isn't your point guard. After he grabs the rebound, you get the defense off balance with some penetration, and you're able to get an easy three.
So I'm watching here, and I'm kind of questioning why Drake would suck in to almost essentially double and stop the inside pass to Deontay here. Like, they thought we're going to go into the post to Deontay, which Iowa State has not really done a whole lot.
But this is just another one of those situations where you see the guard grab the rebound, and rather than waiting,
just turn and go.
He turns and goes.
Yep, I agree.
And that's what Iowa State's going to need to do. Like I said, every single guard they have is capable in that role.
Love it. Anything else you want to talk about on that one?
Nope, that's good.
Okay, we're going to go to middle of four.
All right, so we talked last week about the press break, how bad Iowa State was early on in the game against the Iowa press. They weren't getting anybody in the middle of the floor. Run it. Right here. You see they're going to have a guard come up. This isn't a very extended press, but Drake just puts a little half-court pressure on. You got a guy in the middle of the floor, and then you're able to get a foul. That just shows when you get that ball to the middle of the floor, especially if you've got all these guys that are back here, that's easy attack. You've got 3-on-2 right there. This guy did a good job recovering, but
is this so? Right here, in my opinion, does Deontay need to come up a little bit more higher on
Deontay
this?
Deontay could get higher up here. Naz could probably be even higher up.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it looks like that pass was made a little bit more tight than it needed to be.
But the whole game, Iowa State had a guy right in this area against this press. Anytime that they would try and extend that zone into kind of a half-court pressure, they would have that. It would be Daryl Bowie. Somebody would be right there in the middle of the floor for just a pressure outlet.
And that's a lot different, like you said, because they're picking us up with half-court, where Iowa's, what, three-quarters court is what they typically were doing?
Yeah, it was three-quarter court, maybe even like right at the circle.
Just right in front of it on the other side. Yeah, but you're 100% right. Someone popped up there, and if they get the ball to him a little bit higher, I think – two guys collapse, and he's got two shooters on either side. Right. They should be wide open.
Right, and you, like I said, you've got – if Naz gets back, you've got essentially 4-on-2 or 3-on-2.
Yeah.
Easy situation to score right there.
Yep. Okay.
I just want to show that one because it was better from the last game.
That was.
All right, so this is – all right, a free throw break. Not that many teams really run a traditional free throw break that much, I don't think, anymore. But on a situation like this, you're going to take the ball out of the rim – it doesn't matter, you know, usually your four or your five man's going to take the ball out of the rim, and your point guard's going to run like a banana cut, trying to get up. Your two guards are going to run the wings, and then your five man is going to run right down the middle of the floor. Run it. push hard, even off the made free throw, you get an easy three, because these guys are all right in the middle of the floor. They've got to suck back. If you're able to push hard, catch them off balance, and you get an easy shot.
It always looks better, too, when Naz starts making those threes.
Yeah.
That was a sight that we've been waiting for a while. What, did he end up going 8 for 12 on threes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. Like that.
But, yeah, Iowa State does this a lot, so I just wanted to show that. I appreciate a good free throw break.
See, you know what I like most about this play right here, Jared? We saw this against Iowa, right? It drove me crazy. I was sitting in Carver Hawkeye Arena. I was yelling, push it, push it, push it. After made baskets, we'd pass it in. We'd walk the ball down the court.
Right.
I mean, it's just boom, right away. There's no waiting at all. And even if teams get back, it doesn't mean – you might not get a quick shot right there with Naz, but at least you're making the defense run back, get set. You're putting them on their heels a little bit, yeah. And it might come a pass or two down the road, but you're still pushing it down.
And that's just good secondary break basketball. I mean, Iowa State can do that any time that somebody makes a shot against them.
Yep.
And I think that this is something that you're going to see more as the season goes on, where they're going to put more of an emphasis on really doing that with running the wings, getting your big man running down the middle of the floor. And I think that this is a position that Deontay can be really successful in. Because if you get the ball onto this wing and you start like onto these wings and these guys start hitting shots and you've got to pull this defense out further, get him running right down the middle of the floor with a full head of steam.
Yeah.
That's the perfect situation for him to be able to attack the basket, put whoever they've got right here in the middle of the floor, maybe in some foul trouble, and just get some easy shots right at the rim.
I agree.
All right.
All right. What are we at next here? Extra pass. You ready to break this one down?
Yeah, yeah. All right, go ahead. This is just good ball movement by Iowa State right here. Not a very good pass right there, but you got some guys that are just – they're trying to get into the lane, trying to get in the lane. You reset, just chill out, and then you get a good look right here. Boom. Boom. Just making the extra pass. They made the extra pass, what, three times right there?
That was very nice.
They just passed up – they passed up multiple open shots to get a look at the rim from 2 feet away.
You know what I'm noticing here too? Naz is, and he's obviously feeling very confident at this point. In the lane right there one time, and he was one of the people to drive again,
yeah.
Being extra aggressive, getting to the lane.
I like this right here by Monte. He sees Naz cut back there, and he tells him to space back out, get back to our spots, and just chill out for a second. And then you get a
drive kick.
Yeah. Like, this is how Iowa State's offense should – when it's really – playing well, that's what it looks like.
Yes.
That's really good offense right there by Iowa State.
I agree.
Even though you're not getting it in transition, that's a good – like I said, that's really good job by Monte, and that's a senior point guard recognizing how you are spaced out on the floor and being able to pull that out and say, come on, we got it spaced back out. We got to get to our positions that we need to be at on the floor.
So one thing we didn't see a lot of there, though, was there's not a whole lot of screen action going on. Against a good team that plays good defense where it's hard to penetrate, I still think Iowa State – I mean, what's Iowa State going to do there, right? They're not going to be able to just drive around and get paint touches, drive and kick. I still think – that's still my worry as a fan is how is Iowa State going to get points against a good team that plays good, solid defense if they're not able to – like I said.
That's when the transition really comes into play. Being able to catch teams off balance a little bit.
Are we going to see more sets at that point in time too, though?
I don't know because Prohm, I think, has – proven in the past that he just doesn't really like to run sets like that often.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
I think you'll see – we've seen them use that high ball screen just so it's just like kind of liberal. Like they don't really have like a set like time when they're like running the high ball screen, you know?
Yeah.
I think that it'll be a lot like that still.
Okay.
But you have seen them run some sets this year.
They have.
They'll run more sets, but I don't think that it'll be like every time down the floor, okay, we're going to run a set.
Well, you know, West Virginia, Kansas, teams that have good quality guards, they're difficult to drive around, right? They're quick. So is it going to be a lot of Iowa State passing around the top of the key shooting threes, which is going to drive us crazy? Or how are they going to get shots?
Yeah, well, and that's what we're going to have. It's going to remain to be seen.
Yep.
But I don't think they're going to go like Wisconsin where every time they run down the floor and they get there and they're like, all right, let's run a play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to get into a situation like that.
Hopefully they get enough stops where they can just get out and run. That's where they're best.
And I think that's going to be the big – that's what they need to do. If Iowa State's going to be playing at their peak, they have to be able to get out and run.
Yep.
They have to. All right, this is the play where Deontay with good. The bad defense.
Nope, this is good bad transition.
Okay, this one is just interesting. This is good defense by Deontay, actually. All right, start it.
Okay, let me get that switched over.
All right, so he comes up with a steal. Billy Wampler, by the way, that dude can fill it up. All right, so you get a shot. Naz kind of leaning off to one side. Nobody gets back. Monte does, but nobody else does. And then you get really good transition offense right here by Iowa State.
Good camera work.
For an easy layup. That's a good job, again, by Monte, recognizing they've got one guy that's clear back here. They've got other guys that are kind of just jogging up, and then you just take advantage of it, push it ahead with a long pass, and you get an easy layup.
I'm just watching it again. And good job by Drake by getting it ahead, but still, you're right.
Credit to them.
Like Iowa, I said, Iowa State's got to get back on that.
Yeah, like I said, though, that dude can fill it up. He's pretty good, Billy Wampler. I've thought that before about him before. I think he's only a sophomore.
Is he?
Yeah. He'll be pretty good at Drake the next couple of years, I think.
Does Drake have any other pieces, though, in that squad? I mean, they look mighty good against Iowa State for, you know, 34 minutes.
I don't know how old everybody is. That's the only thing for me. I just remember that Wampler's a
sophomore.
Sophomore.
I got you. Where's he from?
Wisconsin, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. He's pretty good, though. He can shoot. There's no doubt about that. All right, so this one right here is just Iowa State, we talked about, wasn't very good defensively on Saturday. This is one of those things that I think it was a lot of just complacency. Guys just weren't paying that much attention. And you'll see that right here by Deontay. Easy pick, easy slip right here by Kunstling, I think his name is, and gets an easy lay-in. Just turns his head on a switch. Boom.
Yeah.
There's not much more to say about it.
No.
It's just he just turned his head, and that's – I think that was a lot of what happened to them, is that Drake did a good job of recognizing sometimes, because Drake's good in their sets. You know, they do a good job of being able to kind of dictate the tempo and run through what they're trying to do. And right there, that's just a good job of him making a nice read, seeing that Deontay turned his head and you get an easy layup. What do you think?
I don't there's, you said there's nothing really to comment on that.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Yeah. Especially from a guy – I guess I don't know. I should look at the stats. Is that a guy a three-point shooter? For him to overplay him like that?
I don't think he's like a 50% or anything like that.
And he wasn't even a three-point spot. I mean, it seemed like an overplayment. But, yeah. So, we saw some good things. Offensively, obviously, we saw a lot better.
I think the way they played in transition was encouraging. That's what I'll say.
And me, I'm just going to – like I said, I'll play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
We need to see what they're going to do against a quality opponent, because we saw them – tear up Northern or Nebraska, Omaha. We saw him put up a lot of points against Citadel. Mm-hmm. We've yet to see consistent offensive play against a good opponent.
Right.
So that's what Iowa State fans, I think, are waiting for. Especially Big 12 looks a lot better than we thought coming into the year. We thought it was going to be a down year. Right now, the Big 12, and it's still early. KenPom wise is as good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I think who's the worst team in the Big 12 according to KenPom?
Probably Kansas State.
And they're like 39th, 40th.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe Tech? No, Tech just passed Iowa State.
So Tech's what, top 30?
Yeah. Or I think they are 30. Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
TCU? I think they've only lost one game. I mean, there's a lot of good – there's no easy game where you can circle two wins right away off the bat. Every game is going to be difficult. So for Iowa State to be as good as what, you know, we think they can be, they got to figure out a way to score in the half court.
Because
Big 12 teams are all well-coached. There's a lot of good coaches in the Big 12. They're going to teach their guys to get back. They're going to kind of figure out Iowa State a little bit. So Iowa State's going to have an adjustment.
Right. That's what we're going to have to see them do. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it.
And then we'll come back here on CFTV Live, and we'll break down all the brilliant ways that Coach Prohm and the boys are getting buckets.
Definitely. There we go.
Nice. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I think we're good.
You got big Christmas plans?
Going home.
Going down to Clarinda?
Yeah.
Very nice. When are you heading down there?
Thursday, I think.
Okay. What's third? The 23rd, 22nd?
22nd, yeah.
22nd. How long are you staying?
Probably until Monday or Tuesday.
That'd be nice. You already done shopping?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got presents for your parents?
I do.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
We went in joint present for my parents. Got them a nice Dyson vacuum as one of the gifts, and then I was going to go get something else for them. And then for whatever reason, my sister tells my mom, we're not going to buy you guys a vacuum for Christmas. That's a boring gift. So my mom goes out and buys herself a vacuum already. And now I've already bought it. I got this big Dyson vacuum I got to go take back.
So you're going to give it to me for Christmas?
You're not getting a Dyson vacuum. I don't like you that much. I don't like you that much. It's normally a boring gift, but the older you get, the boring gifts end up being the good ones, the ones you actually use.
I asked for some new socks for Christmas.
Nothing wrong with that, buddy.
Yeah.
What kind of socks?
Some Stance socks. Official sock of the NBA.
What are they?
The official sock of the NBA.
Stance?
Yeah.
Never heard of them.
They're outstanding. I play basketball in them. They're very good.
Are they nice and thick? Like,
yeah, very good.
Comfy? Quality.
Yeah, they're that. I promise you, they're very good.
Don't help your game at all.
Wow. Let's just finish this.
And with that said, thanks again to our sponsors, Agrigold. And like we've said before, this is going to be just getting bigger and better. We're currently working on some ways to get rid of this TV behind us here and bring in an actual, we'll go to a kind of like an iPad screen, which will look a lot better. Won't have the glare behind, be able to break down by putting actual circles and X's and stuff on the screen. Kind of like you see on football. We're going to have John Gruden over here breaking down some tape, you know.
Yeah. Jeff Woody will be back to do it next year, too.
Jeff Woody will be back. Might have a couple other guests come in.
We should do a signing day special. CFTV Live.
I've thought about this. Thought about bringing someone. We might have to do it a little bit after signing day, but maybe bring a guest or two down to kind of talk about it, and we'll show some videos and break down the recruits, because obviously the staff's doing a hell of a job recruiting.
Definitely.
So thanks again, everyone, for watching. Thanks again to Agrigold. We'll see everyone after the holidays.